Philippians in chapter 4. We're going to look actually at verses, just two verses today, verses 8 and 9. So let's turn there together. Philippians chapter 4, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Verse 8 and verse 9. Paul writes in verse 8, and he says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. And those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you." What a really good promise. How's the peace in your home today? Do you have peace in your house today? This is a little funny story to get you thinking this morning about peace, all right? A man from Berlin, Germany, took an unusual approach in trying to bring peace to his marriage. CNN reported that the man was using an old air raid siren to stun his wife into submission. "My wife never lets me get a word in edgeways," the man identified as Vladimir told the police. "So I crank up the siren and I let it rip for a few minutes. It works every time. Afterwards, it's real quiet again." The 73-year-old man's 220-volt rooftop siren was confiscated by police after neighbors filed complaints. As for his wife of 32 years, she said, "My husband is a stubborn mule, so I have to get loud." Is your house like that? I hope not, right? Today we're going to look at what it is to have real, true peace. And I have been so convicted. So today, if you hear conviction coming across, don't take it as an angry preacher trying to tell you what to do. Take it as a preacher who's really convicted about what the Lord is saying to his heart and life through this passage. Now, at the beginning of chapter 4, we've been making our way through Philippians. And at the beginning of chapter 4, Paul is actually calling out for peace between two of the members of the church. Maybe you've been in churches where it's like that. You ever been somewhere where there's people not getting along, but they still meet together? That's exactly what was going on here. Now, in our own church, we visited this passage just a few weeks ago when we looked at the fundamentals, right? Remember the five fundamentals that we looked at? Okay. And the fifth week, we talked about the return of Christ. And during that message, I shared most of verses 1 through 7. So I wasn't going to revisit that today. I figure you guys had a pretty good handle. But let's just read through those verses so you can kind of make sure we're all on the same page as we jump into verse 8 here in just a moment. So look at verse 1 of Philippians 4. Paul writes, "Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and I long for, my joy and my crown, stand firm in the Lord. In this way, dear friends, I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, my true companion, help these women, since they have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life." Verse 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which passes or transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." So Paul here is talking about two ladies, right? You've got Euodia, you've got Syntyche, these two ladies who are faithful with the gospel. They've been faithful with Paul. They've been working, they've been witnessing, they've been serving, they've been taking care of people, right? We saw that even in chapter 2, with Epaphroditus, how the church sent them, Epaphroditus to Rome, take care of Paul. These two ladies have been working with Paul, but these two ladies are not getting along. I don't know, I would be interested, probably it's a good thing the Lord didn't tell us what it was about. If that wasn't enough, where did he go after that? He said, "Let your mind, let your attitude be the same that is as who? As Christ Jesus. I want you to think and act and behave like Jesus did." And so, all the way from even chapter 2, Paul has been trying to address this issue of contention in the church. So he kind of sums it up here, and he's trying to push for peace. And so he encourages them. He says, I want you to rejoice. Rejoice. And if you've noticed, in every chapter in Philippians, we've talked about joy. Paul has continually hammered home on that point. We should be joyful. Let your gentleness or your meekness be evident. And then he said, and this is what I brought up in our fundamentals message, he said, the Lord is near. We even saw that in our message today in Sunday school with Brother Rick, that as the Lord is near, that should affect how we are living. And when you know the Lord is close by, that helps you with your own stresses and anxieties. Anybody here been stressed out this last week? Can I get an amen or anything? You guys just got, there's a few head nods, right? You ever had those days, those weeks, right? Where you're like, is this going to end? Hello? Yeah. Here is some really great words for you today. What does the Lord say? He says, let your requests be made known to God. You need to tell the Lord what's going on. Now, I know he knows, and you know he knows, but as we do the telling, we find that something really happens. When we let our requests be made known to God, after following the Lord's instructions, we see that peace comes from the Lord. And not just any peace, but what kind of peace? Peace that transcends, peace that passes, understanding, peace that doesn't make sense, right? Why in the world would people in Cuba that are making $20 a month and barely have enough to eat, why in the world would they praise the Lord? Because they have peace and they found peace in the middle of difficult circumstances, right? Yeah. You can have peace in the midst of incredible stress. And I know some of you guys been through, even this very week was very stressful. Some of you guys have been through some big stresses. Think back, if any of you have ever had to move, the stress of a move is about as difficult as it gets for a lot of people, right? I know Wendy, for most of her life, she moved about every 3 or 4 years. When we lived in Salem, that was the longest she'd ever lived anywhere. And stress comes during the move. But what I'm trying to say is that we've all experienced stress, but the Lord says, give it to me. Give me that request. Give me that stress. Give me that burden. Give me that, the word here is anxiety. Give me that. And if you'll give it to me, then I will guard your heart with peace. Man, it's a great word. I will protect and guard and shield you, but you've got to let me have it. You have to give it to me. So that's the first key in getting peace. Today we're going to look at verse 8 and 9 just to see the second one. And this one where I was so challenged, and I hope that you'll be encouraged today as we look together. Look down if you would. Verse 8, we want to think on the good things. What's in your mind today? What are you thinking about? Come on now, what are you thinking about? Are you thinking about, what I would usually think about on Sundays would be roast and noodles and mashed potatoes and gravy and maybe some biscuits or a little bit of cornbread. And, oh man, that's for most of my life, that's what I would think about on Sundays because that's what I knew what was coming in the afternoon, right? What are you thinking about today? Maybe you're thinking about the Colts. I hope not. It's been pretty rough so far, right? What are you thinking about today? You thinking about a park you're going to go visit? Are you thinking about someone you're going to see? Are you thinking about you're going to finally get that nap that you've been wanting all week? Right? What is on your mind? If you want to have peace, this is so good. We need to fill our mind with things that the Lord would have us fill our mind with. And the Lord says, I'm going to be with you if you will pursue things like this. And so that's what I want you to listen to this morning. Look again, verse 8. He says, finally, brothers, this NIV here, he says, what is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. So I'm going to challenge you this morning. What are you thinking about? The first thing, what did he mention first off? He said, whatever is true. I'm going to lay this out here pretty strong to you today, okay? What you're thinking about, does it agree with the Word of God? Have you ever heard someone say, I got a piece about it? Have you ever heard someone say, I got a piece about something that you know is absolutely contrary to the Word of God? Huh? Take for instance, and this is a little penology here, a little supposition, but I almost think that when Jonah got on the boat, because he was not going to go to Nineveh and he wanted to go to Tarshish. If you'd have asked him, did he have a piece about it? He would have said yes. You know why I say that? Because he was sleeping on the boat in the storm. Was he doing God's will? No. Are you following me? You need to be careful sometimes when you just trust your gut. That's what we call that a lot in our day, right? Follow your heart. Trust your gut. That's like in every Hallmark movie, in every win-it-all type movie, right? Inspirational thing. Follow your heart. Well, that can work sometimes, and sometimes that's good. But sometimes the heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it, is what Solomon said. So you got to be careful, and you got to measure that against what we know to be right. What do we know to be right? The Word of God, right? Whatever is true, you need to think on these things. So, yes, if you have peace about it, that's great. Does it fit? Does it line up with the Scriptures? The negative here would be avoid wasting time about thinking on things that aren't true. Let me ask you this today, and again, this is a challenge to everyone. Tell my own heart was challenged. How much time this week have you spent knowing the truth of God's Word? Is it in your pattern? Is it in your daily pattern to spend time with God's Word? And I'm going to encourage you, and I know Brother James will as well. If you want to grow, if you want to know the God of peace, you want to spend time in the Word of God. You want to focus and know whatever is true. Next thing here today, you want to know what is noble, or King James says, what is honest. Think of it this way. Is it worthwhile? Is it of an excellent quality? Is it of a serious nature? Is it worth considering? The negative would be thinking on things that are foolish or thinking on things that are a waste of time. Let me word it this way. This might help you this morning. Are you developing a taste for meaningful things, or are you still watching a lot of cat videos? Okay, let's get personal here today, right? Flip it. How much of your time are you thinking about things that really matter, that have great weight, that have great impact? There's people that are doing wonderful, amazing things for the kingdom of God, and I'm going to guess and venture out here that they don't spend most of their time just watching silly videos, right? They don't probably spend like hours a day on Facebook because they are looking for things that are noble. Again, I'm going to challenge you there and encourage you this morning. The next thing he says is whatever is right. Given to God what is his and to man what is his. Being right with man and God. This is the idea of having integrity or doing the right thing at the right time. It's avoiding injustice. Let me step out here for a little bit more. Please hear me out just a little bit today. We live in a time of protest, right? This has been a week of protest, hasn't it? Okay. Protest can be really good. And I'm not saying here today that you shouldn't protest. I think there's a time, definitely a time to protest. And there's a great thing to create awareness. But here's where I have been challenged with this week. What are you doing? You hear me today? And so can you follow my train of thought here? And I hope I don't get too much trouble about this. But as I thought about the different people protesting different things, where the Lord always seems to convict me. And again, we'll have different things where we're challenged about. And that's okay. The Lord made us that way. But what's been on my heart a lot lately has been about abortion. And I want to like create awareness about this problem. But you know what? I need to do things. When we were growing up, and we heard a lot about, you know, what was right and what was wrong, and you got to a place where you were supposed to do something about it. I want to challenge you here again this morning. And here's a little bit about the difference between protest and making a difference, okay? When I first moved to Salem, it was a tradition that a lot of the churches in Salem, that they would line up on the streets of the town one Sunday afternoon every year, and they would hold up signs about right to life. Now, is that protest or is that action? That's protest, right? That was awareness, okay? And I think it was good for let people know how you felt about things. It was good to create awareness. But you know what came along after that, or was coming along at that time? There was this lady by the name of Nancy, and she got this little storefront, and she put together a place that was called a pregnancy care center. You guys ever heard of those things? And you know what she did? These young teenage moms that weren't even sure what they were going to do, they were so stressed out and anxious, she would invite them into that place, and she would let them know that they were loved and not judged, and she would care for them. And you know what she did? She saved baby after baby after baby because she was taking action. Are you with me today? Now, I get lots, and this is part of my job. I'm a preacher. I'm supposed to think and create awareness, and I do that every week, right? But what the Lord's convicting me lately is like, what are you doing? Today, the Lord may not be convicting you about abortion. He may be convicting you about some other injustice, maybe a racial inequity, maybe that type of injustice, maybe a social inequity or poverty, or maybe children that don't have things that they need. Maybe there's all these things. And yes, it would be good for you to create awareness, and I'd be glad for you to do that. But how much more if you could do something and be part of change rather than just raising your voice? Lord, help us to be that kind of people that we would do what is right. Okay? As you think about what is right, guess what? You get closer to the God of peace. The next one, he says, whatever is pure. Think about this morning. Again, whatever is chaste or clean. Again, the negative is avoiding foolish talk, avoiding filthy talk, avoiding obscenity, avoid filling your mind with things that are pure. Hello, can I challenge you here today? Come on now, church. What is in your mind because of your media choices? Now, I'm not going to be your convicting today. Whatever your level is, and I've shared this with you guys before, I think I've seen like maybe one or two rated R movies my whole life, because for me, that's a line I have to have, okay? That's for just for me personally. That's where I got to set that aside. If I go beyond that, I'm going to have stuff in my mind that I just can't deal with, okay? But for you, for the things you view on your television or you listen to on your radio or you watch on the internet or you see on Twitter or Facebook or you on Instagram or all the news sources today, even just reading the news today nowadays can really be dangerous if you're not careful. Are you with me? I think some of you don't even know, right? The things that they promote in some of the news articles today, I'm like, really? I never even thought about that. Now I read a news article, I have to like flush my head a little bit about that. You follow what I'm saying? Today I want to challenge you, and again, I'm not going to set those boundaries for you. If you will grow close to the Lord will help you set what needs to be right for you. But I've been around too many people, and they're kind of like, well, I can handle that. It's not really that big a deal to me. And they're filling their mind with filth over and over again. Well, how can they not expect for filth to come back out, right? The old computer lingo we say is garbage in and garbage out. I want to challenge you guys this week. Challenge you with your kids, with your grandkids, to think the same way. What we pour in our hearts and pour in their hearts, that's what's going to come back out. The Lord says, if you want to be close to the God of peace, I want you to dwell and think on things that are pure. All right? Again, challenge you, encourage you with that today. Whatever is lovely. What is lovely today? Things that are truly beautiful. Things that would increase friendship among one another. What is really beautiful? Can I, again, challenge you a little bit from the negative side today? We have kind of a warped view of beauty today, don't you think? Moms, anybody out there trying to take care of little girls? Huh? It can be challenging to point out what is really beautiful, can it? How much pressure is on our young girls to be what they see on the cover of a magazine? Because we have labeled that as, this is ideal, this is what is beautiful. What God says is, I want you to think on things that are truly beautiful, right? Grace and kindness, gentleness, humility, love and joy and peace. Those things are beautiful. Think on those things. Help those little girls to see what's really beautiful, all right? Help them to have confidence. I saw some even videos this morning. It was so cool. These dads were helping their little girls to find confidence in their own selves so that they hopefully wouldn't be beat down by what the culture says is beautiful. Today, please focus, dwell on what is truly beautiful. Are you seeking out beautiful things? And that way I'd also encourage you to do, how many of you guys, anybody else besides me like to go hiking? right? I mean, I love to be out in the woods. I love to see the sunset. I love to see the sunrise. But what I want to see when I see those things is the not only the art, but I want to see the artist. I want to see who put it together, who built it, who made it. And I want to enjoy it knowing that it is of the Lord. What is lovely? What is admirable? Things that are well spoken of, excuse me, things that will deliver a good name. Again, Paul says, if it's excellent, if it's praiseworthy, anything, anywhere that's of value in the sight of God, then what's he say to do about these things? He says, think. Think on these things. And so that's what I want to challenge you today. Let's get out your calendars. Whether it's on your phone or you have a little pocket calendar, right? Let's go through your week this week. Do you have some time, a little time where you get to choose what's coming in, what's coming into your mind? The Lord says, I want you to think on these kind of things. And so I, again, encourage you today, what are you filling your mind with? If you're lacking peace, if you're finding lots of stress and no peace in the stress, maybe we need to change the things that we're thinking on. All right, look down at verse 9. We'll finish up here this morning. So Paul is so challenging. He says, I want you to follow a godly example. Look in verse 9. He says, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Again, Paul, think about what he's done. We're talking about Euodia and Syntyche, the two ladies were fighting, right? He's reminding them. We're thinking also about the Philippian jailer. Remember that? He was in that church. We're thinking about Lydia, the seller of purple, the rich lady in town who had brought many people to Christ and was also in this same church, okay? And we saw this even like, I think, 2 weeks ago where Paul says, I want you to live up to what you already know. Quit being bound and worried about things you don't know. Some of us are so wrapped up trying to figure out what's going to happen in the end times. God says, I want you to live here and now. And I know I've already told you how to do that. Love me with all your heart, your soul, and mind, and love your neighbor how? As yourself, right? Yeah. Lord's already laid that out. It's not that, that's not that complicated. It sometimes it's hard to live out, but it is not complicated. What you have learned, Paul says, whatever you have learned, I want you to live that out. What you have received. Now, this is what I would say is experience, right? Okay. It's one thing to know it. There's things I have learned, but there's things that you have experienced. I want you to hold on to those things. Not just that, things that you have heard, he says. Maybe things that I told you in a sermon while I was in Philippi, Paul's thinking, or things that we talked about along the path. It was so good on Friday night to sit down on the fire, and Vicky and I just started talking about when she was a child, and did she go to revival meetings, and what was kind of her spiritual background, and how the Lord had brought her to faith. We should be having those conversations all the time with coworkers, with friends, with neighbors. Paul says, there's things you have heard from me. I want you to remember those things. What have you heard about? And then he says, there are things that you have seen. This is pretty powerful. Could you imagine sitting in the testimony service on Sunday night when the Philippian jailer or his wife got up and gave their testimony? Are you following me? I don't think you're following me. This guy gets up out of the pew and he would say something like this. Oh, when he came to town, we hated him. We wanted him long gone. We heard about things he was doing in other places. So we decided we would shackle him up. And it was my job to make sure that he remained shackled. That's what I do. I'm the jailer. But on that night, those boys, they would not stop singing. They kept singing like all night long. I was so frustrated. What are we going to do here? And in the middle of the night, that place was an earthquake. You would not believe it. Shook all around town. Nike shoes today, right?
He says, do it. Just do it. Put it into practice.
You already know it. You don't have to keep, like, dwelling on, well, I need to learn, I need to be confident. You know what? What you need to do is do it. The things you have learned and heard and received and seen, put into practice. Let me give you an illustration about this, and we'll close up this morning. This is so powerful. You guys have probably never heard of this monk, but you have definitely heard of what he did. In the 4th century, there was a monk named Telemachus. He wanted to live his life in pursuit of God, so he lived alone in the desert, praying and fasting, meditating on God's word. And one day as he prayed, he realized his life was based on a selfish love of God, not selfless. If he were to serve God, he must serve men. Did you hear that? If he were to serve God, he must serve men. So he decided to return to the city where there was sin and there was need, and Telemachus headed for Rome. He arrived at a time when the Roman general, Stilicho, had won a great victory over the Goths. And since Rome was now officially Christian, triumph brought people pouring into the churches. But one pagan practice still lingered in Christian Rome. Anybody remember what that is? The gladiator games. All right. Now, while Christians were no longer thrown to the lions, prisoners of war were cast into the arena to fight and to kill each other. Spectators roared with bloodlust as the gladiators battled. Telemachus arrived on the day of the games, and following the noise, he made his way to the arena where 80,000 people had gathered to celebrate. The fights began, and Telemachus stood aghast. Men for whom Christ had died were about to kill each other to amuse a supposedly Christian populace. Did you guys hear that? Men for whom Christ had died were about to kill each other to amuse a supposedly Christian populace. Telemachus jumped the wall, and in a moment he stood between two gladiators. For an instant they stopped, but the crowd screamed, "Let the games go on!" So they pushed the old man in the monk's robes aside. Again he came between the gladiators, and the crowd hurled stones at him. They urged the gladiators to kill him and get out of the way. And the commander of the games gave the order. A sword flashed, and Telemachus lay dead. And suddenly the crowd hushed silent, shocked that a holy man had just been killed before their eyes. The games ended abruptly that day, and they were never resumed. Telemachus, by dying, had ended them. As historian Edward Gibbon observed, his death was more useful to mankind than his life. Wow. This is the ultimate story of faith in action, isn't it? Someone said, well, I could go in the desert and I could meditate and I could pray to God and know God, just being God, but I need to serve men. So I'm going to go and be obedient. He saw injustice. He took a stand. He lost his life for taking a stand. By the way, take note of that, right? If you take a stand, sometimes you will pay for that. But he did, and God honored it by ending a horrific practice because of his willingness to be obedient, to stand up for injustice today. So here's the point this morning. What is God asking you to do? What have you learned and received and heard and seen? And I'll encourage you today to do it. And the great truth is this. What's the end of that verse say? It says, and the God of peace will be with you. Are you hearing that today? If you will think on the things that are lovely and pure and admirable and excellent and praiseworthy and true and noble, if you will take those things you've learned and seen and heard and you will practice them, the Lord says he will be with us. This week, I want you to think on good things and follow the good examples that God has given you. I want to challenge you with this morning. This time of revival will be a great time for meditating and focusing on things that please the Lord. And I know that you are busy. God knows you are busy. But please don't get too busy for the Lord who bought you. I want you this time of year especially to think on the good things and to do what you know the Lord would have you to do. If you could pull up our last verse there today, Diane, the very last slide. This is Psalm chapter 19 and verse 14. Look up there together with me. Maybe you've already memorized this verse before. What an encouraging verse for us even today, even as we look to revival meetings. The psalmist writes, and he says, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Isn't that good? Today, if you're stressed out, the Lord is your rock. But today, if you need hope and you're looking forward to what is to come, the Lord is your Redeemer. He's already taken care of the biggest things in your path. But let your words, let your meditation be pleasing in His sight. Amen. Let's stand this morning. I so appreciate your patience and your time. I really thank Isaiah so much today for sharing his story and what encouragement he was to us today. And let's do pray for our brothers and sisters in Cuba. This morning, we won't play the piano this morning. We'll just have prayer, and then we'll talk about some announcements here. But let's go to the Lord right now and ask Him to help us focus on those things that are most important, all right? Heavenly Father, today we just desperately need your help to be able to step away from all the busyness and to really put our hearts in your hands and to focus on things that matter. We're so thankful for the opportunity that we have to see our brothers and sisters serve you in Cuba. And Lord, the work that they're doing, even with so much less than what we have in many ways. And so Lord, that convicts us and challenges us. And Lord, we ask you today that you would help realign what our hearts should be, where our minds should be. Lord, help us to make good choices today, this week, with what we put into our minds and what we think on. And Lord, would those things, would they be pleasing in your sight? Dear God, today we know that there are brothers and sisters we have here who are facing lots of stresses about decisions and about troubles that have come in their path. And so, dear God, today we ask special grace for them, that you would be near them as they give their request to you, that your peace would guard their hearts. Lord, as they think on good things in the middle of difficult times, that they will feel your nearness and that they will know the God of peace is with them. Lord, let us love them even as you have so loved us. Lord, we thank you so much again for a time to come together, for a church family who is trying to seek your face. Lord, shape us as you have seen fit. And then, Lord, help us to live out and to do what you have taught us. We love you so much today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Just have a few announcements again. On Wednesday of this week, we will have supper at 6:30. If you are hungry, come on out for that. At 7, we're going to have a little bit of prayer time, but most of our time we'll get to hear from Carlisle Hannah. I want you to see that somebody who has lived it for 60 years, the impact that they've had. I know you'll be blessed if you can swing by at 7. If you can't, let me know. I'll get you the link to watch the video if you'd like to see it on your own sometime. Really encouraging, and we'll talk a little bit about Carlisle's life, and especially we'll be praying for our upcoming revival. On Thursday night, or really any time this week, if you have any time, we would like to try to kind of get the church spruced up, cleaned up just a little bit before our revival week starts. So Thursday night, if you can come around 6:30 or whatever, if you want to come and help with vacuum or cleaning, or if you can come any time this week and help out with that, that would be greatly appreciated. So keep that in mind. And then next Sunday morning, Brother James will be with us. If anybody would be interested in taking Brother James out for lunch or for dinner this week, let me know. We would like for different people to him to get to know them. So if you'd like to take James out on Sunday or Monday night or Tuesday night, Wednesday night, let me know. And we would love to help that happen. Actually, Wednesday night we'll have our dinner again, so it'll be on Thursday. Are there any questions or any other announcements? All right. Thank you so much for being here today. Let's be dismissed in prayer this morning. And I'm going to ask Gwendolyn if she would dismiss us in prayer, please.